You are listening to the Artist on Record, Adika Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and check our YouTube channel out as well. Here's Mr. Ace Frehley of Kiss. Where do you think your life would have been if you didn't go to that infamous Loft audition for Kiss?
Would you still been playing?
I would have been famous no matter what.
Today on Artist on Record, we have the legendary Mr. Ace Frehley of Kiss. He's in the hot seat. His new album is out, 10,000 Volts. You could check that out. Links are down below in our description. Now, let's get a chance to meet Mr. Ace Frehley one-on-one as he goes on record with Adika. It all starts now. Don't touch that dial.
If it didn't make it with Kiss, I would have made it with somebody else.
But you wouldn't have given up music. You would have just stuck with music for sure.
I had it. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
I had the personality. I had the looks. I could play. And there was no stopping me. So
that was it, huh?
That's not even an issue in my mind. I kind of knew when I was about 16, I was going to be a rock star, and I would tell everybody, and they'd think I was crazy.
But how about your parents? What would they say?
They didn't believe me, but you know, when they showed up at Madison Square Garden, the night we did three nights over a weekend, they kind of remembered, and they said, "Yeah, you pulled it off."
You wanted the best, and you got them. The hottest band in the land, Kiss.
Now let me ask you: for you, being from the Bronx, where you grew up from, where you came from. In the high, like 70, you know, in the 70s, 77, that was your Beatlemania too. It was Kiss Mania. What was it? What was going on through your head? I'm here at the Garden. I mean, come on.
I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. People didn't even know what we looked like without the makeup. I remember going to some bar and there was this broad. She had to be a 9.5. And I walked up to her and I was hitting on her and she was a little receptive. And I bought her a drink, you know, and then we're talking. And I figure I cinched the deal if I told her who I was. I go, "By the way, I'm Ace Frehley from Kiss." She goes, "Get the f*** out of here." I had to pull out all my ID and everything. Finally. And I pulled out some cards with me on the cover. And finally, she believed me. You know, I had a 928 Porsche outside, black on black. Finally, she believed me.
So you dropped your own name because she had no idea.
Crazy.
That is a funny story, man.
Her name was Adrian.
Adrian, huh?
She's an artist. I don't know what happened to her. She was so hot.
I bet you Adrian's telling that story. You wouldn't believe it. It's like a joke. A guy walks into a bar, says he's Ace Frehley from Kiss. I go home with him. Boom, boom. It sounds like a crazy joke. What a fantastic story, man. Hey, you know what? I pulled some questions for some of the fans that watch my show on a community board just to make people feel. And there's so many crazy questions. But one struck out, and there was a really good question here that...
This one's from Ronnie Parker, 4311. I'm a longtime devoted Ace Frehley fan. Please ask Ace, what guitar did he take to the Kiss audition?
I'll show you a copy of it. This is the guitar I auditioned with Kiss.
Oh, wow.
Except it's a copy. It's a reverse Firebird single pickup with banjo tuning pegs. Not many of these around, but Gibson, the Gibson Custom Shop one, I told them I had, used to have one of these. They made me another one exactly the way it was.
So that's exactly what it was, what you walked in. That's
it's
what it
also
looked like.
The same guitar that Clapton used on the Farewell Cream Tour.
That's right.
And I'll never forget, because I saw a photograph of him playing it, right? And he has a big hand.
Yeah.
Look what happens when you put your hand here. All you see is the volume and control. You don't see a pickup or a bridge. Because it was just mini humbucker and single tailpiece bridge. Amazing guitar. The only thing I don't like about it is the neck is too fat.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but
I also have I have the original pickup that was in the guitar that I auditioned with Kiss. So I might put it in here, and I might have the neck made a little thinner, which is how I like my guitars to be. I have like 120 guitars, so yeah. How Clapton used that guitar in Cream Farewell Tour. He used it at the Garden. I
Oh,
don't know if
killer.
we use it every night.
Killer. That's killer. Let me, so when you went on that audition that changed your life, basically, did you jam on covers or you jammed on originals or just a loose jam with them?
This is exactly what happened. They played Deuce and they said, listen to this song. It's in the key of A, but you got to tune down a half step because they always tune down a half step. So I tuned down a half step and they said, when it comes to the solo section, we'll nod and just go. So they played a elongated version of the solo, and I just played every riff I knew. You know,
And you just, that's it.
that was it. After I jammed the, I think we may have done one or two other songs flying around, but they told me we'll call you back within 2 weeks and let you know. But Paul admitted to me later, several years later, he said, we knew that day you were the guy. It's just that we had other people that we already told them and had them booked to come in and audition. You never know who's going to show up. So, but he said pretty much we knew you were the guy.
Wow. But there was no name for the band, just a couple of guys jamming from their old name
Now,
that they had.
I'll never forget the day we named the band. I was going, why don't we call the group F? And they said, that's a little extreme. So out of the blue, Paul goes, what about Kiss? And we all looked at each other and we go, that might be a good name. And then I designed the logo.
So the logo came from you. I always get the mixed stories from everybody on the internet, all these people talking about it. So you actually came up with the lightning bolt S's, right?
Yeah, I had a button of the original version of the logo. I
If
mean,
you
Paul even admitted that I designed the logo. And then later on, he lied and said he designed it. But what happened was I drew it with a felt tip pen.
Yeah.
And the lines were pretty straight, but and the design was appealing. But he was a trained artist because he went to music and art. So he just drew the lines a little straighter with a rapidograph pen and gave it to the record company, and that's the logo.
That was the
But
logo.
I designed it, he refined it.
I mean, man, when you think about how simple it all is and how iconic it is, I mean,
I
Ace.
designed that logo like in an afternoon, and it's like one of the most recognizable logos in the world.
That with the Rolling Stones mouth, yes, the tongue, those two. You think of rock and roll
I
things like
just
that.
like that's, I've done so many crazy things in my life that have touched millions of people. I just kind of like go with the flow. I try not to think about it because then I
Yeah.
mean, I'm not on any ego trip,
Goes and
feels like
goes.
it's been a movie and it still feels like it's a movie. It's
Well, you.
almost going to jump out of the, I'm going to go through a door and,
Well, are they trying to
tell your
make a.
director go, okay, you're done.
Is there a biopic now going to be made about your career with Kiss coming
Oh,
out?
we need to get a good screenwriter. And once we get a script, I would like to approach Scorsese simply because he grew up in the Bronx and he would get it. But there's a lot of great directors out there. Who would I like to play me in my 20s? The kid who plays the Flash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he would, if he had my hairdo, Because I used to have, those kind of thin eyes, and some people used to think I was Oriental. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from, but once I got a facelift, they did an eye lift, and my eyes are more open now.
So how's the world look now that they're more open? Does it look better? Does the world look better now they're more open or what?
They're bigger.
You know? But do you see everything better? Do you like what you see in the world?
Like everything.
You know?
You can see all our episodes unedited right here on YouTube. Become a member today. Join the club. In the meantime, that is Ace Frehley. 10,000 Volts is out now. Links are in the description down below. Make sure you subscribe, hit the bell to be notified, and click on the box here on your screen for our next episode. And post your comments down below. Thanks for watching. Who loves you, baby? We do. We'll see you all later.
Actually jealous of your man cave. I think it looks, I wouldn't want to leave. It's a great place. Look at, you got the lights going back there. You look like you're, it looks like the USS Enterprise.
Fucking nuts.
It is nuts. Ace, what about the whole, the makeup with your, with, where did that come from? Where did, what made, just because.
I designed my makeup.
Yeah.
Because I was always, I told you, I was always interested in science fiction and. So I decided to come, be more like a spaceman. Jane was always fascinated with horror movies, so he became the demon. Peter had this thing for cats. And, I'm going to tell you something, but, Paul will never admit it. But, for a while, Paul's makeup was exactly the way you see it now, except he had a circle around his eye. Like the dog and the little rascals.
Petey. Yeah.
Petey. Yeah. And we were working at that club, the Daisy, developing our makeup. And I looked at Paul and I said, why don't you try putting a star over your eye? And he did. And that's it.
Star
Would he
man.
Ever give me credit for that? Would he ever admit that that's a true story? I doubt it. He always wants to underplay all my input with Kiss.
What is that about, you think?
Hmm?
What is that all about, why he wants to
downplay
it?
Oh, I know exactly what it's all about. He's very jealous of me. And he, deep down inside, even though he's an egomaniac, narcissistic guy, he's insecure.
Do you think there's like a, of course there's history. There's got to be love there, brotherly love, right?
I don't, don't put this out.
No, I won't. I'll cut it. I'll cut it.
Mentally unbalanced as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think he's all there because I've seen him flip-flop multiple times. I mean, how crazy is this? I'll give you a perfect example. I walk into a Kiss rehearsal and I just bought a pair of fucking jeans and they were too long. So I rolled them up. The way you roll up jeans like cowboys used to do it. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Paul started making fun of me. I couldn't give a fuck. I go, let's fucking rehearse. The next day, he walked in with jeans rolled up. Now, how sick is that?
I don't know what you even call. I don't even know a word for that.
I looked at Peter and I go, what the fuck is his problem? First he chastises me and then he fucking, everybody in my whole life has copied me. From the time I grew up in the Bronx, I was the first kid to get bell bottoms. I used to shop in the Village and get clothes. I used to have a Captain America shirt. I had a Superman shirt. But nobody had it, because I knew the cool places to shop. I knew where to get the cool platforms. I wore clogs for a while. because, you know, Alvin Lee from 10 years after wore the same fucking clogs. And if you notice in Dress to Kill, Gene is wearing my clogs.
I was going to ask you, because that...
Those are my clogs.
Those are your clogs on Dress to Kill.
And, you know, that skull shirt he wears? In the early pictures of Kiss, black t-shirt with skull and crossbones. I designed that, and my mother sewed it on the fucking black t-shirt. And I brought it down, and we were getting dressed, and I had something else. I had a black shirt with lightning bolts or something on it. And I said, hey, Gene wasn't sure what the fuck it was. I said, hey, Gene, where the skull and crossbones? It's you.
Actually, it was I remember the pictures. Killer looking. Look killer. So your mom did the stitching
mom
on that.
Mom sewed the crossbones and skull on that fucking shirt.
Very cool. I mean, God, the concept that you guys came up with is... Because at that time, you had the New York Dolls doing it, but they didn't have the songs. They... You know, the Max's Kansas City thing era, you know? But
we were intimidated by the Dolls.
Were you really?
Because they were the shit. And then, you know, once our album came out and we started playing, we had a big machine behind us. You know, Neil Bogart, Bill O'Coin, a lot of connections. You know, finally, we became more popular than the New York Dolls. And then the New York Dolls kind of fizzled out. You know, they were all doing heroin and getting... Yeah. I was really, really good friends with Arthur Kane.
I was friends with Arthur Kane. I actually have a tape, a cassette that Arthur... Can I tell you?
Arthur Kane would walk into my fucking room with two cases of 16-ounce Colt 45s.
What a nice guy he was.
A wonderful guy.
A wonderful guy. I have a video of me jamming with him. We're playing double bass. I did the low notes. He's doing the high. We're doing Pills. What a great guy. And I used to work at this place, Playmate, in Hollywood. I was a manager, a woman's lingerie store. It was the best place.
That crazy wife he had. She cut off his fucking thumb or something.
Oh, back in the early days. Yeah.
I remember all that shit. I went to see him in the hospital when his liver was bothering him. We were very close.
He was a cool bass player too, Arthur. You know? He was cool.
He wasn't a great bass player, but he held his own.
He was simple. He held his own. No, he was pretty cool. Yeah. But what
is simplicity is, you know, better than, you know, complicated shit, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was a cool they had a cool thing going on, a cool vibe, the Dolls. What it was just really raw. Where you guys,
I mean, you know, Johnny Thunders, you know, I had met him multiple times with friends of mine.
Yeah.
And I said, who's this fucking guy? And then, you know, they started the Dolls. Peter was actually very good friends with the drummer. They grew up together.
With Jerry Nolan.
Yes. And, I knew Jerry. And but somehow, you know, we actually went on tour together and did some shows. And immediately, me and Arthur just clicked. And I loved to drink beer, and he loved his beer. So, you know, we both down a couple of six packs of Colt 45. We sniffed glue together.
Hold on. What is sniffing? I always hear about sniffing glue. What is sniffing glue? What is like the model?
The best guys in the world.
It's the model airplane glue. Is that what you're talking about, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I tell you, man, you fucking, you think you've taken acid or gone this. You sniff glue, you go into another fucking dimension.
Where does it take you? How long does it last?
I can't even verbalize it. It takes you to this place.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I'm here now. And it lasts 10 or 15 minutes, and then it wears off, and then you're back. It's almost like you go to an alternate universe.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm such an idiot. I used to go, what's this sniffing glue? The only glue I had was Elmer's glue. I go, there's nothing here.
High. What a fuck. It only lasted 15 minutes.
Wow.
And I also used to sniff Carbona cleaning.
Oh God.
We used to put it on our fucking collars and walk around and just sniff it while we walked. Fucking bouncing off fucking walls and shit. You know, I hung out with crazy people.
Ace, I got to tell you, a friend of mine who's a great guy, I'm good friends with Kenny Vance. You know Kenny Vance? He actually did the Warrior. He was in Jane the Americans. And he introduced me to Vinny Poncia. And Vinny is such a great guy. And I keep in touch with Vinny.
I know Vinny.
I know you know Vinny. And Vinny worked on, you know, your records and all that. And
he's recorded Eddie Solon's studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And Vinny, you know, Vinny did, like, I'll tell you, a few of my records that you guys recorded, I mean, I love the stuff that Vinny produced for Kiss, too. You know, I thought he did a great job, and the songs were cool as well. It was a different, yeah, just a different changing of the gods with Kiss. And, but his history and the Doc Pomus world and all that, that was pretty cool. Did you enjoy working with Vinny Poncia?
Very much so, because we used to do Quaaludes together.
Oh, really?
Hey, give me a second.
Yeah.
I'll be up in a little while. All right, honey? Yeah, Vinny was great to work with.
Yeah.
Vinny understood me very well. He knew I liked to get fucked up, but he also knew I was a pro, and this is what he used to say to me, like, when it came time for me to do solos, he'd kick everybody out of the fucking studio. Because he knew Paul and Gene used to fucking break my balls. Because sometimes, you know, it would take a few takes for me to get a good solo back in those days. Now I just knock them out like it's fucking, you know, a cup of coffee. Vinny, he was holding on to the Quaaludes. And he goes, listen. I go, Vinny, I want a Quaalude. He goes, nope. Let's get this solo done. And after the solo, I'll give you your treat. You know? So once I nailed the solo, you know, he'd throw me a couple of Quaaludes. He'd take a couple. We wash it down with a beer. That was Vinny.
That was Vinny. So that's where he got the best out of you with the coin. Here you go. And you in your own mind goes, I better just get it right now because I really want to get it in the next 2-3 takes. I don't want to take a long time with this.
I was also really good friends with John Belushi.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Tell me a Belushi story.
I was with him up the weekend before he left to go to California.
No way. Really?
We used to go on 3-day coke runs.
Oh, wait, hold on. Did this thing is still, okay, no, okay. Because we had a set time on the Zoom. Okay, I got backed up on YouTube. Okay, good. So I hope we're still going. All right.
Yeah.
So wait a second. So
yeah,
so,
John loved me. And one of the reasons he loved me, many reasons. Number one, I get him laid. Because I was dating a lot of models and shit, and I was a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, and John's not the best looking guy in the world, even though he's a hysterical comedian. So, and I don't know if you're aware of the fact, you know, once Saturday Night Live, they became super famous. They couldn't go out because they'd get hassled by people. So John and Dan bought a bar below Canal Street, and they sandblocked the windows with cinder blocks, and they put a metal door there with a little peephole, And after Saturday Night Live was recorded, you'd see a dozen limos on this fucking street, a couple of streets south of Canal, and only on Saturday night, you know, like 1, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was allowed in because everybody knew me. I knew Gilda and all those fucking idiots. You know, but I would hang with John. But this was, here was the beauty of it. Him and Dan bought this bar so everybody could party Saturday night. But the rest of the week, it wasn't used. So John would call me up on a Wednesday and say, I just got a fucking ounce of some fucking Peruvian flake. I go, I'm right. I'll see you in 20 minutes. So we'd hook up and I'd say, we'd have a couple of beers and he'd say, you want to go down to the bar? I go, yeah, I'll make a couple of phone calls. So I got a couple of models to come down to the bar and meet us there. You know, next thing you know, they're fucking in their underwear. They're laying on the bar with snorting coke off their tits. And John's playing drums. I'm playing guitar. You know, the girls are dancing on the fucking bar. It was just the four of us. I mean, it's fucking amazing.
How did the band sound? No, I'm joking. Don't believe me. I love that story. It's a great story.
And John said to me the day before he was flying back to Connecticut to finish the movie Neighbors.
Neighbors, yeah.
He said, Ace, you're one of the few people that can crack me up. I'm definitely putting you in my next film.
Wow.
And we all know what happened.
Yeah. It's the lady that he was hanging with, she was a... Going out, used to go out with Gordon Lightfoot.
Gave him a hot dose.
She was like, yeah.
Heroin. She gave him heroin and speed.
It's another.
And I tell you, I swear to God, I knew John for a while. Never would use a needle. Didn't like needles. I didn't like needles.
I'm against needles. I don't even know why I even got tattoos.
He was really depressed about his wife and... Shit wasn't going well. He was upset about some other shit. So he met this fucking crazy broad. And she says, let me shoot you up. You know, you feel better. She ended up fucking killing him.
Yeah. That's it.
Fucked up.
Young age, he died, man. He was a real talented guy. Yeah. And that lady who shot him up, she's well with Gordon Lightfoot. One other
funny story about John.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when the Blues Brothers movie came out?
Yeah.
Do you remember when the Blues Brothers actually performed at the Academy of Music that night?
Mm-hmm.
Sold out. And the backstage area was filled with celebrities. I mean, big celebrities. No one was allowed in the dressing room. They made a rule because, you know, they said, Jesus, if we allow one person, we're going to have to allow 100. So Ron Delson was standing at the bottom of the staircase.
Yeah.
And he's going, nobody can come up. So, I was really good friends with Ron because, you know, he had promoted us at the Garden all those years. So they did their first 45-minute set. Took a 30-minute break, and then we're supposed to come out and do another 45 minutes. So Ron Delzer comes running over to me after the first set, and he goes, he's in a panic. I go, what the fuck's wrong? He goes, John won't come out and play the second half of the show. He blew his voice out. I go, please, come on. He goes, Ace, you got to go talk to him. He knew we were tight. So Paul and Gene were there. I can't even name all the celebrities. I had this fucking broad with a mini skirt. You could see her fucking underwear. So Ron goes, go up and talk to him, please. So I went up there with this fucking fashion model. And we get in there, and it's just fucking Dan and fucking John. So I'm going, John, what the fuck's the problem? He goes, my voice is all fucked up. So I immediately made him a hot cup of tea with honey and lemon. I said, drink this. So he sipped on that. It made him feel a little better. You know, I might have given him some champagne. You know, and then he started feeling even a little better. He was relaxed a little. I said, look, John, nobody can fucking sing in the rock and roll business. Mick Jagger can't sing. I can't sing. We fake it. We just talk the words. It's bullshit. I go, you can fucking fake it. Just go out there and fucking fake it. And I laid out four lines of Peruvian flake, and he fucking snorted it up. And he goes, yeah, fuck it. I'll do it.
But she had
down the stairs. Yeah, I was letting fucking see my girlfriend's pussy. I look at this fucking shit. You know, you want a piece of this after the show? Come back to my joint. So yeah, I walk back downstairs with this broad, and Dells is like nervous. I go. He goes, what happened? I go, he's gonna do it. He goes, unfucking believable, Ace. How do you talk to me? I go, he's gonna do it. He's a friend of mine. I know how to talk to him. What happened in the second half of the show? And no one else was allowed in the room. And I remember Paul and Gene going under their breath, how come he can go up and we can't? Yeah. Beautiful. Fucking, you know. That's how I used to get back at them. I used to do shit that they couldn't do.
Because you were hanging out. I mean, come on, Belushi, you got to say, you know what? You're totally right about rock and roll singers, but Belushi had so much soul. He was just as good as anybody up there. And his vocals, he was killer. He was really killer. Killer. One of my favorite albums is the Blues Brothers. I have the vinyl. I keep it.
John, just don't push your voice. Just don't push it. Do some crazy acrobatics. Fuck around. You know, have Dan cover for you. You know, maybe you and Dan can sing the parts together so his voice will cover yours. You know, there's ways around it. I mean, I do it myself.
Yeah.
When my voice is starting to crack, I have my drummer double me.
Yeah. But the phrasing, it's all the phrasing. And you always had that phrasing in Shock Me, you know, which is so cool. But in the beginning of your singing career, were you a little like standoffish about singing? You didn't really want to sing? Were you shy about it?
I was nervous. I didn't, you know, here you got Paul, Gene, and Peter, all lead singers.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not a lead singer, at least in my mind. I'd said, you know, finally, you know, they pushed me into doing Shock Me. And once I sang it, you know, I said, oh, I guess I can't say.
I,
the rest Ace, is history. I don't know, you know.
Ace, I got to tell you something about your singing. It's like certain people have that it thing. And with your vocals, you, Keith Richards, it's something very special that you can't imitate. And it's just, it's great, man. It's just great. I love your tone. I like your phrasing. And it inspires people like me. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I want to show you. I wanted to show you something really quick right here, Ace. That's me and you right there playing on stage. The gig that you'll never remember. You know, right there. I'm on the other side. The singer's in the middle, and you're right there. So that's my proof that we jammed together. But I didn't get the gig with you, but we jammed together. Actually, I knew a couple of guys that did play with you. One guy that played with you.
Who else was jamming that night?
That night was Eric Singer on drums. It was Ryan who plays guitar with Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And me and Teddy Zigzag, keyboard player, who used to play with Guns N' Roses.
Eric is such a good fucking drummer.
He's a great guy too. He's an amazing. But I didn't like Eric when I first met him.
You know, through all the years that, you know, Kiss had Tommy in the band, me and Eric stayed in touch. You know, even when I went to Vegas, you know, he'd meet me at the fucking the Kiss coffee, whatever it was, that
The coffee house, the coffee,
Kiss Chapel, I don't know, over there
can
at
I
the
tell you, can I
Rio.
tell you, I'll tell you something, Ace, actually today, but Eric wasn't in town. He wanted to pop on and say hello to you. And I go, I don't know if Ace will get mad. And I was like, he goes, you know, he wanted to say hi to you. So I didn't, maybe we do another interview one time. It was so hard to get you and I didn't want to blow it. You know, it was
Just
like,
fucking call him.
you know, that's why. So I,
I've been meaning to call him because I really liked what he said in an interview when he said, let's not forget the original guys. You know, we were fans of Paul and Ace and Peter. They laid the foundation for what we do, and you know, they should not be forgotten. Whereas Paul just fucking totally threw us under the bus.
yeah,
That's
I don't un
the fucking asshole that he is, period.
I don't understand, but I will say this. I had Gene on my show last week because Gene will answer my emails, believe it or not, because he knows I'm Eric's friend and he'll bust my chops. You know, he goes, how many viewers do you have? And I wrote, and I just imitated him back. I go, 2.5 million, sir. What time tomorrow? I go, I'm available all day tomorrow. You know, Gene, he likes to bust your chops. You know, who's got the biggest balls? But then you break him, and then he turns a little human. I think he has a little more heart than Paul, you know? And,
Yeah.
but Gene actually on my show, he actually at the end, he started giving you props and he goes, look, I love Ace. And he was talking really good stuff about you. And I go, that's pretty cool. And I made some clips of that. And, you
I
know,
love Gene.
I could
I've
see
always
he has.
loved. You know what I love about Gene? Gene will fucking tell you to your fucking face whether it's good or bad. And Paul will tell you one thing to your face and then go behind your back and say the complete opposite. When you're working with Gene, at least you know what the fuck is going on because he's a straight shooter. Right or wrong, you may not agree with him, but he says what he means and he means what he says. Paul Stanley's a wishy-washy cunt.
I think I'd rather have the straight shooting. I mean, Gene told me a story about the Christine 16 solo, and I didn't know about that Eddie Van Halen, they did demos with him, and then he wanted you to play, and he wanted you to do what Eddie played, and you were furious. That was his, he goes, Ace was furious with me about that solo, you know?
I remember that.
Yeah. And
I
then,
remember he was producing Wendy O. Williams, and I did a solo on her record.
I remember that. I remember seeing Wendy at L'Amour in Brooklyn back then in the, in that time. She was killer. That was a killer record that you played on.
Definitely.
Those are the amazing times, man, for sure. A
I don't even
hundred.
remember half the shit I've done or who I've jammed with.
I
Yeah.
know. Let me ask you. Okay, you told me the John Belushi. Was there one person in your life that you got to meet or jam with, like? And I'll say this because my friends will make fun. Don't ask him a Beatle thing. Cause like, you know, in the 70s, whatever, is it the closest, you know, is there one person in your life you got to meet or jam with, like that was your rock and roll hero? Is there anybody out there?
Not that I can remember, but I'll tell you one of the weirdest things that happened to me. I was with Anton, and he was friends with John McEnroe. And John McEnroe owned one of the towers in that building that was in Ghostbusters. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
The
No.
four-level tower. Remember that building that had the two towers on the west side
Oh, yeah.
along the park? So, you know, we were fucking wasted on cough syrup and whatever else we took. He said, let's go over. I just called John. He wants to meet you. So we went over there and, you know, beautiful apartment on one floor, second floor was a bedroom. Then the third floor was just like all shitty, hadn't been decorated, but there was a wall of Marshall's amps and a drum kit. And, some mics and a PA, and we just fucking jammed. And he was thrilled to play with me because he's a at best an average guitar player, but he loved it. And
Of
then you know
course.
he likes to drink, so you know We did a couple of six packs and I was telling him jokes and
And that was it. That was it. That's great. I got to tell you, on your the solo records that you did on the 78, which is, the whole four, that was my favorite. I got to tell you on that one. And that time when you were doing that record, there was a changing of the guards. Was that going to be the end of Kiss when those records came out? Was those four records where you guys just did, that's when it started getting weird with the whole band?
Well, it was the success of my record. It was an eye-opening experience, and it was also a revelation because I realized I was more creative and productive away from Paul, Gene, and Peter than I was around them. I said to myself, if I can do this with just me and Eddie Kramer and Anton Figg, what the fuck do I need those idiots for? And to me, it wasn't about the money. I gave up millions of dollars multiple times. I just want to be happy.
Well, that record was a big success.
Yeah.
New York Groove, it became, Rip It Out, you have a lot, but New York Groove became like the anthem, the Russ Ballard tune. Who turned you on to New York Groove to pick that one? What made you
Eddie
pick that?
Kramer wanted me to do that. I didn't even want to record it.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it didn't go along with the rest of the songs on the album, and he just kept pounding me. And then once we left the Colgate mansion we had rented in Sharon, Connecticut, where we cut the basic tracks, we went to there used to be a recording session theater studio in the back of Radio City Music Hall up the staircase.
Yeah.
Up on the way to the roof. And that's where we did overdubs. And that's where we recorded New York Groove. I finally gave in to him. And who knew it was going to be my biggest hit?
It's like an anthem, man. It's your New York, New York. It's what Sinatra has is My Way in New York, New York. That's your thing.
It's fucking crazy.
That is crazy when you
Didn't
think
even
about
want
it.
to record it. Just one day he got me in the right mood. And I said, okay, I'll fucking record the song. Is that gonna make you happy? It
So
was that the thing.
it was that it was so the actual recording of the song, is it pretty much like you did it pretty quick, like the vocals on it or the
I do
guitar?
everything quick.
Yeah. Such a great tune.
Recording with Kiss was a nightmare. Sometimes Paul and Gene would want to do 25 takes. And I'd say, hey, first of all, I couldn't tune his fucking guitar half the time. So he's out of tune. I'm going, Jesus Christ, I'm ready to fucking hit somebody over the head. And in my mind, I knew exactly what was going to happen. But I said, we did 25 takes of this and we still don't have it. Do me a
Yeah.
favor. Let's fucking call it a night. I want to go out and get laid. And I had to meet my dealer. And so they said, okay. And I said, yeah, before I left, I said, you know what's going to happen? We're going to come in tomorrow and we'll get it in one or two takes. And that's exactly what happened.
That's what happened, huh? Today
But
is
they
the
lost all spontaneity by the 25th take. They
Well,
didn't understand that. They thought they could beat a dead horse and it would wake up. No fucking way. If I can't
yeah.
get a take in three or four takes, that's it. I'll go, let's try another, let's do something else. Come back to it. Well, for example, the guitar solo in Fire and Water, that video that me and Paul Stanley did, I did 16 takes of the guitar solo because Paul sent me his vocal and I was so thrilled with how well it came out. I wanted to do a great solo. So I'm engineering it myself and I'm fucking 16 different guitar solos. I wasn't thrilled with any of them. Some of them had their moments, but So I said, Ace, take a 30-minute break, empty your head, try to remember all the highlights of the good parts you liked in the solos you just played, and do it. And one take, from and that's a long fucking solo. I did from beginning to end without one edit.
Absolutely. You say highlights. What's a highlight in your career with Kiss that sticks out in your head? That's if you could pick
nice
one.
Madison Square Garden, you know.
That was a highlight. That was a good way to go. Absolutely on that.
Who else does that? Yeah?
I don't know. You, Elvis, maybe Billy Joel. I mean, come on, you know.
Well, Billy I don't even understand the Billy Joel thing. I don't.
Because people are hungry for something good, maybe. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, there's things in this world I get, and sometimes I just don't get it.
I there's a lot I don't get, Ace, but I can't overthink it all the time. I got to ask you, Gene's doing his solo band now, right? He has his band. You got your band. You think down the road that the public, and maybe I could use this for a clip to put out there for 10,000 volts. Do you think down the road there could be something of you guys doing shows together? You ever talk to Gene about it? Or?
Anything's possible. He hasn't called me, but you know, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't rule out anything. You know, I kind of live life one day at a time, and what happens, happens. You know, my life, I get the feeling that my life is already predestined, and it's like a script, and I'm just kind of, I get up and I kind of somehow follow it. I don't know.
What goes on in Ace's? What's a day with Ace? What's it like? I see you doing the clips, but what is a day with Ace? You wake up,
get your coffee. I'm on TikTok and look at fucking what I do, shopping.
Is that what you do? You, huh? I see you in Walmart. I see you going to Walmart.
Fucking dog. I don't know.
How do you like? You like doing those videos, those clips?
I'm doing some more tomorrow. Perry's coming over, my social media specialist. He wants me to do some videos with the dog. I go, whatever.
That's funny. My buddy does videos and he harasses people on the streets.
Yeah.
You know who Andrew Dice Clay is?
Oh, wow. I just got a tuna fish sandwich.
Hey, hi. I'm Stefan. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
All right. We got to wrap this up.
Okay.
I got to eat.
We'll wrap it up and we'll get Ace out of here and to do your thing. Ace, man, I got to tell you, it was cool having a conversation with you, you know? And
I'm really happy you told me that shit about Gene. Because I know Gene has a soft spot in his heart for me.
I'm not even making up. I could send you the clip. I could send it to John and have John send it to you. Because Gene actually he's like, I love Ace. And he's like, I'm really happy. The band that he told me about, the band that was his band, and he told you to use the band, yada yada, all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, he introduced me to his band, and I performed with them in Australia when he took me with him in 2018. And then we went to Japan, and he canceled. And then I asked him if it was okay if I borrow them for a while, and here we are 6 years later.
Now you got a cool band. I know your drummer, great drummer, Scotty. Really great drummer, and a great singer, too.
It works.
It works. But you know what? It doesn't work without you. So there you go. That's it. You need Ace. The original. Ace, I appreciate you hanging with me, man. And I know I took a lot of your day. Would you come back on my show again? Was I that bad to hang with?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? That wasn't that convincing, Ace. What the hell?
I don't know. Whenever my publicist thinks it's a good idea.
All right. You know who I had on the show was Pepe Castro. Blues Magoo.
I grew up with him.
Great guy.
Right?
Yeah, Pepe's a great guy.
Taught me how to play bar chords.
Did he? Did Pepe, huh? Pepe's the guy who taught you how to play bar chords, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's funny, huh? The Blues Magoo. That is hysterical. Now, the new record you got, 10,000 volts. Everybody, it's out now. Links will be down below. Click up there. Click down here. Left, right. You'll find that. And, Ace, man, thanks for coming on the show. I had a good time hanging with you today.
My pleasure. You might want to edit out a few parts if you know what
Ace,
I mean.
I got a lot of editing things to do out. I want to make sure before I let you go, did we cover everything you wanted to cover? I have a lot of editing to do.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you being here.
We'll see you later. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
That was our guest, Mr. Ace Frehley of KISS. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Artist on Record, starring Adika. You can check us out on YouTube, Instagram, at Adika Live, or TikTok at Adika Live. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel as well. You can see our episodes and all the videos. But if you're listening and traveling right now, drive safe, be careful, and as always, who loves you, baby? We do. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you all later.